Well, today we're thrilled to have some of our best friends here with us today ministering. They've been with us all weekend long. Of course, they were with us at our marriage retreat Friday night and Saturday morning. And then, of course, they were here this morning to minister. And we are just thrilled to have them. You know, we have started off, we've shared this weekend, we've been able to reconnect and share stories about starting off in ministry. And we shared a lot of stories about before we ever started ministry that we stayed up late talking about how could God use two people like us. That was our question. I think God's calling me, but man, I'm a heathen and you're a heathen, and think God can use us? We had a lot of those kind of conversations. It's been great to see how God has done and what God has done. We've dreamed together over the years. God has used this couple, Joe and Tina Skiles, to reach thousands of teens around the globe. They've been conference speakers. They've been raising up next gen leaders around the world. And they have just recently moved back to the state of Missouri. They're working at Solid Rock Family Church, a tremendous church there in Jefferson City, Missouri, as executive pastors there. So we're glad to have them back closer to our area. And we've just been really thrilled to see this reconnection happening. And today they're going to come, and I want you to put your hands together. Now, Pastor Jeremiah, this is his cousin. And you can see that Pastor Jeremiah got all the good looks. But anyway, just playing. He asked me to say that. And but this is Pastor Jeremiah's cousin as well. Some of you are thinking, is that? Yeah, that's them. The same Skiles family. And but today, we're thrilled to have them. Put your hands together and welcome our friends. Pastor Joe, come and introduce your family to us today.
Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for the great welcome. Thank you for great worship. Don't you love your worship team? They did an amazing job today. Wonderful environment. It's just it's an honor to be here. And we have been excited. We came and did the marriage conference for Gene and Mel over the weekend and met so many new friends. I feel enriched because I don't take lightly when I get to meet new friends. It's such a value to my life. So we just had a whole weekend hanging out with Destiny people, and I like it. I like it a lot. You guys got a great thing going on, and we know when God's doing good things and there's vision cast, people are coming to Jesus. You're keeping the main thing, the main thing. It takes shepherds who have the right heart, and you have great pastors. I love your pastors, Gene and Mel, and I just want to give them honor and say thank you for the invitation. And it is a big deal. We've always stayed in contact with each other, but I don't know. We kind of feel and got a little gas in the tank and got this network that we started in together with some other friends. And God's allowed us to kind of reconnect that. I don't know if we're like feeling half, we're kind of like halftime of our life right now. That's what we keep saying. And, Gene says he's in the first quarter. So, it's inspiring to see people just moving forward and pressing on. And I'm so excited to be here, and I'm just completely honored and flattered by the opportunity to be with so many friends that are genuine, and there's a deeper connection. The Medlands, I love them. And because I'm such good friends with Hillary and Aldai, they just feel like family to me. And of course, Jeremiah and Cassie, I love them. Jeremy did get the looks, I won't lie, okay? Now, you decide that standard by looking at Jeremy, okay? I got the maturity, Jeremy got the looks, okay? Is that the truth? But it is always good to be with family and just having a blast. I'm glad that I get to have my family. My lovely wife is hanging out with me. And Gene said it, I married way up. It's the truth. I married a hottie and I love her. And she's hanging with me. And she's a great communicator. She's just written more curriculum for women and teenage girls and mentoring. And that's what she has always done is the last 20 years is work in that field. And probably because Melody said, I can't come up without showing a picture of my family because we grew up in a household, or I get to father a household full of daughters. And I have a 22-year-old. I have a 20-year-old. I have an 18-year-old. Yes, I'm still going. And I have a 12-year-old daughter. And these are the chicks of my life right here. Okay. And so I'm I'm thrilled to be able to hang with them. I have a daughter that's graduating from Missouri University this year. And I have a daughter who's a sophomore currently at Missouri State, and she got to come down and hang out with us today. Alex is with us. I have a daughter graduating from high school who's intending on going to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have a 12-year-old. And I told Gene and Mel, if you guys have a place where you pray for people consistently, can you get my name on that? Because being surrounded by ladies, I need your prayer. Okay? I need your prayer really, really bad. But I have a blast living life. We have traveled the world together, even seeing what's happening in Nepal with the earthquake and being in prayer for global situations. It reminds me of when we got to go work in Haiti with friends, and I took my whole family over there, and God began to change us and show us. And there are a group of young ladies that's great leaders, and everybody's like, here's what they say. You got a lot of drama in your house. No, I really didn't have any drama in my house because we kept the focus as the Lord, and they got a great worldview, not a worldly view, a great worldview of God. And they're compassionate toward people. They've been everywhere with me. We have fun serving the Lord, and you should too. I don't say that. I get the opportunity to say that right now, but you should really enjoy serving God with your family. That's why we're here. We keep working on that together, okay? So just have fun serving God with your family and lead the way. Lead the way for them, and God will truly enrich your life and bless you. So give somebody sitting next to you a high five and say, let's lead the way together, okay? If you got your Bibles, let's get into the Word, and then we'll take some time and pray for the needs that may be in the house. TJ asked this question. Do you feel alive? And TJ did it a little differently than what I just did. And we're going to pray for TJ's charisma. He feels like he needs more of it. sometimes, and I don't mean this wrong, but sometimes we ask that question because we're in that environment of asking those questions when we come to church. Do you feel alive? And sometimes we get a corporate response, and it's as if we all agree. It's not the truth. Sometimes we don't feel alive. It's just not the truth. There are people who came in here broken, and people who came in here needing an answer, people who came in here who do not feel alive with whatever your circumstance is, and they change all across the building with what you may have experienced this week, what you may have experienced this year, maybe what you've experienced for a season of time in your life. And it's just not the truth. We don't always feel alive, although we try to work on it. We try to get there. But in our human nature, we just don't always feel like that. So let me talk to you for just a few moments on two passages that deal in that area. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. It reads like this. It says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Just read it again because it's a short passage. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, the next passage I'm going to read is found in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through verse 42. It's 10 passages. It's more than what I read generally when it comes to, you know, teaching. But I want to read 10 verses to you, and I want to frame this up because it's Jesus walking in a moment just before the cross, and we're coming out of the Holy Week, and it's Jesus walking with his disciples in this particular moment. And you can feel, it's hard for me to read this, Joe, without feeling that we have a Savior who's done so much for us. But when you get to the moments where he was flesh and he suffered, just like you and I suffer. So key in when I start reading this, and notice, I'm going to bring some key things out here for you over these next few passages. Mark 14, 32 through 42, it's on the screen, read along with me. It says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. In parentheses, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. It's our Savior that just said that. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will. Then in verse number 37, he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said, Peter. Now notice that, because I'm going to allude to that in just a moment. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and he prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, three times, Jesus went away and he came back to find his disciples asleep. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Out of these two passages, I'm going to just share 2 points with you today. Here's the first one. Number one, I'm just going to say this to you. Stay with me. Because in that moment, that's what Jesus was asking. Stay with me. And I want to frame that up because it's not the stay with me because you're all I need. That's not what he was saying. He was feeling more urgent in, like, if you could see his facial expression or you could hear the tone of his voice, stay with me. He's asking him. And as we read, he implored them several times, could you not just hang out with me? Could you not pray? Could you not do what I ask in this moment? You see, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was nearing the cross and you can hear the anguish in his voice. And he was struggling with that agony that he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he asked his disciples to pray while he prayed. Pray with me and do this with me. And three different times, you saw the story. He went into the inner recess of the garden to pray. And three different times, he returned to find his disciples asleep. Now, a lot of us, we can read this. And I want to make sure that when we read the Bible, or some of you that may be scholars of the Bible. And some of us, we may just be in new beginnings of reading the Bible. I have a document that I send to people all the time. I had a lady that come to me. She's just striving in Christ. And she said, I just started reading the Bible and I just get lost. And I said, I'm going to send you a document. And I created a document that I send to people that kind of give them the simple structure of the Bible so they know what they're reading in its context. And sometimes we read the scripture and we take it out of context because this is what we do as people sometimes that are Christians. And for those of us who are trying to start reading the Bible, we need to know that as we read in the context that this happened 2,000 years ago. Read in the context of what would it be like if somebody came through that door and considered themselves and called themselves the Son of Man. Would you think they were crazy? Huh? If they came through that door today and said that, you would think they were crazy. You wouldn't know that's what was happening in that day in its context. And we read this out of context, and here's how we look at it. Man, how come those people could not pray with Jesus? He asked them, this is the Savior. This is the Son of Man who would save the world. Could they not just stay awake and pray with Jesus? And we get a little indignant because they did that to our Savior. And that's how we look. And we read the Bible sometimes, and then we'll go, I would have never done that to Jesus. I would have stayed with him, and I would have prayed with him all along the way. And that's not fair, because you're missing the context of the Bible. You see, he asked the disciples. He encouraged them and said, can you stay with me? It's like when we read stories out of the Bible. Moses, he had issues with anger. He killed somebody in the Bible because he got angry because they were doing something wrong to somebody else. And that's why he had to flee to the wilderness. When God gave him the Ten Commandments, he came down from the mountain because the people were doing wrong. And he cast the tablets down out of anger. He struck the rock in anger because he was mad at the people. Imagine that. Man, I would have never done that. I can't believe Moses was dealing with his anger. Seriously? Some of you were dealing with your anger this morning before you even came to church. But when we read the scripture, we're like, I can't believe he got angry and did that to the commandments of God. We're not reading it in its context. We're not looking at it in real life. Like these people are some kind of superheroes. We read stories like Joseph that had problems in the relationship with his brothers. They threw him into a pit because they couldn't get along. And he was somewhat, they thought he was somewhat arrogant because he had dreams. And he would tell them, someday you're going to bow down to me. And they had brother issues or sibling issues. And we look at that and say, I can't believe they couldn't get along. Really? You couldn't believe? We got a house. We got kids in our house. You grew up with siblings. Everybody deals with it. But we look at it out of our self-righteous view sometimes. And we read about David, this great man who was called a man after God's own heart. He slew the giant. And we read when he walked across the building and he looked over the edge. And we're like, I can't believe a man after God's own heart would walk across the building, look over the edge, and see a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, bathing naked. And he looked at her. I would have never done that. I wouldn't have never done that if I would have been David. I wouldn't look at a beautiful woman bathing naked. And that's how we do it sometimes. We kind of put it in, I would never do that. It's not true. And the same thing when it comes to these disciples. As you read that story, even as I read it, you're like, I can't believe they fell asleep on Jesus Christ. And see, what was happening is, in this moment, I believe the disciples did the best that they could. I'm going to sympathize with them. I believe they did the best they could, Gene. I believe that they walked with Christ, did not everything right, but give their best. But I do believe that they were tired and they were exhausted. Here's the context. They walked everywhere and they were in that moment tired. We drive everywhere and I get in the car with my wife and 2 minutes in, she's got her head against the window drooling down her chin. She can't stay awake when we drive 5 miles. They were walking and we're like, they couldn't stay awake. They were tired and exhausted. It's the context. It's because they were walking with him. And I believe they did the best they could. I believe they meant well. I believe that they had good intentions. They were walking with Jesus Christ every day. And he asked him, can you stay with me? Can you give me your best? However, in spite of their best effort, they just couldn't come through in the moment. Anybody feel like that? In spite of my best effort, God, in spite of me and Gene and I, we said, God, can you possibly use us? And we will continue to fail God. And listen, every one of us in here, in spite of your best effort to serve God, you'll always have some moment when you feel like you let him down. You're always going to have that moment where I feel like, gosh, I just wasn't able to deliver. And the disciples, here they were. They were not able to deliver. And let me clue you in. We are all sinners, but we are saved by grace. We're all sinners. We've all come short. We've all come short of his glory. And this is why I believe that they fell asleep. So I believe they couldn't deliver. Because they didn't realize how critical the moment was. They were asleep. But for Jesus, the moment was critical. Because someone was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to go to the cross, give his life. He knew it. He had told them, but they had forgotten about it. If you read on, after they went to the tomb, the angel came to the women and they kept using the word. Didn't you remember? We told you this was going to happen. Jesus knew it. They had forgotten about it. But for Jesus, the moment was critical that somebody was getting ready to die and everybody else fell asleep. And as we come in and out each week, as we come in and out of our homes, as we go in and out of our community and to and from our jobs and in and out of our schools and in and out of the grocery store and in and out of the marketplace, the moment is always critical for somebody because they're dying spiritually. They're dying in their life. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something. And we have Jesus Christ. We have the answer to life. We have hope inside of us. And here we go in and out while people's lives are in critical danger. Their lives are on the line. You see, if you've ever experienced the panic of a critical moment, Jesus in that moment, he's just kind of looking at them. And in and out of their sleep, stay. Can you just stay with me? That's what he's asking. He's clapping. He's saying, can you just kind of continue on with me? The moment's critical for me. If you've ever had one of those moments, you never forget it. I remember as a kid, we used to ride motorcycles, and me and Earl and Amber were talking about the deep woods of Steelville where we used to camp together. And as a kid, my father was a leader down there, and I would ride, you know, motorcycles everywhere. And if you're like me, I'm going to give some good flashback memories for all of us. If you had a motorcycle or a bicycle, you're like me, you put as many people as you possibly can on it. You put somebody driving, somebody on the forks, somebody on the gas tank, or if it's a bicycle, you got somebody on the back with their feet hooked on those two little knobs that hold the wheel on, and then they're holding onto your shoulders. Anybody ever done that before? And then when you wreck, it's a wreck for everybody. And then you get I told you should have just had one at a time on there. So we're riding along, and there's a few of us on a motorcycle when there shouldn't have been, and my father was driving, my little brother was on the front, and he wasn't hardly big enough to walk, but he was on the front, and we hit this rut, and he tried to overcorrect the motorcycle, and I remember the moment so vividly because it became critical fast. When he did, my brother flew off. He hit his head, cut a big gash in his head. I flew off, hurt my arm, had to jump back on the motorcycle that was still running, run to the car. We lived 40 miles from the nearest hospital, went down gravel roads. It was kind of like, to me, the Dukes of Hazzards, heading down gravel roads in these little country roads. My dad was driving like crazy. He had handed me a handful of rags to put on my brother's head. And here was what I saw when I looked down. I saw his eyes going in and out of the back of his head. And he was trying to stay awake. But I remember my father saying this to me, "Joe, don't you dare let Mike fall asleep. You keep him awake, because if he falls asleep, we may never get him back again." And he kept grabbing him by the shoulder, and he kept going, "Mike, stay with me. Don't you dare go. Don't you go to sleep. You stay right here. Joe, keep him awake. Tell him to stay with us." And if I can say this morning, that's probably the message for some of us who don't feel alive. If we can tell you, although you're in and out of consciousness in your spiritual experience, or in and out of consciousness in just walking around like the walking dead in your life, God wants you to be alive, but you gotta stay with him this morning. Stay with him. That's the word for you. Stay with him in this critical hour, and don't give up. This may be the day when you see that freedom or breakthrough in your life. Stay with me. That's what he's saying to you. And for many of us here, the moment is critical. My message, stay with us. Don't you dare go to sleep. Become alive. Awake up inside of him. We come in, we come out. You're like, "I'm here, but man, I know that God keeps pulling on me." God wants more than the usual Christian setting in the seat. He's looking for the unusual in you. He wants you to come alive so that you can touch the lives of others who may be critical. You're cut, some of you in here, and you're bleeding in your spirit. You're broken and you're brokenhearted. You're lost without direction. Your home feels like it's unraveling. Your marriage feels like it's unraveling. We talked about it all weekend. Your finance feels like it's unraveling. You're good on the outside, but you're hurting on the inside. Some of us in here, we're completely lonely. We haven't talked to anybody. I've got family members right now who are going through such a heavy moment of their life, and they're lonely. They don't feel like they've got anybody to talk to, but God is wanting to talk with them as well. You feel paralyzed by what others may think about you or what you think they're saying about you. You've stopped believing in yourself. You've stopped feeding yourself. You've quit praying. You're just here because this is a routine for you. You've quit talking to God, but don't stop talking to God, because if you are not listening, you're not listening to him. Because if you were listening, here's what the word says in Psalms chapter 61 and verse 1. It says, "Hear my cry, O God." Listen to this. "Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint." It says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." God's bigger than that critical moment that you're going through right now. Stay with me. Don't leave us, and stay with God. You see, sometimes when we get to that moment, we're just kind of in and out of sleep or in and out of consciousness. It's interesting watching people who are in and out of sleep or trying to stay awake that are actually needing to go to sleep. And you see them, you're kind of bobblehead. It's good entertainment to watch people do that. There's people on the back row doing that right now while I'm speaking. No, kidding. I'm kidding. We're alive in here. I remember when we went to Nairobi this past summer into Kenya, and we took a group of our friends with us, and we did a conference over there for all of the countries where we have establishment. And man, it was so awesome. But we had 30-hour journey. Some of that was our fault. We took some time in another place where we had a layover and enjoyed, Amsterdam. We just had a blast. But we put 30 hours of travel in. We got there on a Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, got to our hotel by the time of 7, and they're supposed to give us a Sunday off. And they said, you get to rest all day, and then we'll start on Monday. Yeah, Gene knows that's not true. When you travel overseas, they take it all out. You pour it all in. So we got there at 7. They come and told us, they said, hey, you got to be ready in 30 minutes because we got church. And when we went to church, we literally went to church from 7:30 in the morning, and we got out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we had been traveling 30 hours. Well, here's what was great. The music was fantastic. We were jumping around, thousands of people, and just having a blast, waving our arms, loving Jesus. But when we sat down and started listening to someone speak, we all had our phones out, taking turns, taking selfies and videos of each other while everybody's sitting there doing this. Bobblehead. Anybody done that before? It's exactly what was happening in the disciples' life. And probably looked something like this when Jesus came back and saw his disciples.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, bum, bum, bum. Don't have nobody to call my own. Bum, 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 bum. Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
And when Jesus came back, that's kind of what I envision him coming back to. A bunch of people who are just bobbleheading on him. He's asked them, stay with me. He's talked to them. He's showed them miracles. He's walked with them. And we can identify some of us in and out. Maybe he's wanting more. Maybe that's how you feel, kind of in and out of consciousness. Bobbleheading on Jesus Christ when he's asking for more. Listen to what he says when he comes back and he sees Peter. The powerful message that Peter would eventually deliver to the church, and people would be added to the church. But Peter was sleeping on him, and he came back and he said, Simon, which was his name before his conversion. Now, if you've ever had a mom or a dad call you by your full name, that's exactly what just happened. Not just Joe, but when my mom says, Joseph, and I'm like, Mom, we all know how that feels. She's trying to get my attention. And in that moment, Jesus is yelling, Simon! He's trying to get his attention. And he says, couldn't you even just stay with me for 1 hour? Just insert your own name. Joe, couldn't you just stay with me for 1 hour? After all I've blessed you with, after all I've given you, after all of these things and the blessing that you have in your life, could you not stay with me for 1 hour? And then he looks at them in Mark chapter 14 and verse 37. He says, 1 hour. And he tells them an equation. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. He's saying, watch and pray. What an equation for staying awake. You're falling asleep? Then pay more attention. Be more observant. Watch and pray more. Talk to me more. For those of you who are dealing with temptation in your life, for those of you who are dealing with addiction in your life, for those of you who are really struggling, trying to keep from going in and out of consciousness, or cut or bleeding, or having critical moments, watch and pray. Watch who you're running around with. Watch what you're listening to. Watch what you're watching on TV or what's going on. Watch those things and start talking to God. What a beautiful solution to overcome our temptation. And then Jesus says this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows what we want to do, But our flesh, we just can't deal with it because we're going to fail him. But notice when he uses the word spirit, he uses the little letter S on spirit. That means he's talking about your spirit. So he knows in his spirit, we are strong. In his word, we are strong. But in our spirit, he knows we are going to fail. So we try to control, which is what Pastor Gene was saying. We try to control the situation. We try to control everything. We try to make our own way. And that is not what God is wanting. You're trying so hard to stay awake and alive in your spirit. And you're trying so hard to stay awake and do the right thing in your spirit. Zechariah 4:6, it says this. This is the word of the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, which is a big letter S. He's saying it's my spirit that can help you in this particular moment. Now, I was a bobblehead, and this is where Gene and I, we were bobbleheads. Gene was a big bobblehead. I was a big bobblehead. And this is why we couldn't get it figured out. Can God? Because something happened. I went from bobblehead when I started seeking his spirit for the answers in my life. You see, I sought God. I knew God wanted to do. He began to change me. And I was in and out of church as a teenager all of the time. I loved God, but I really didn't have lordship. He didn't have lordship in my life. I didn't commit everything to him. And I wish I could go back and rewind and do it all, but I didn't have lordship. And when he wanted more, I was at a camp or a conference, and I just said, God, this is it. I can't deal with this anymore. Because if I fall asleep, and I had friends stay with me. I stayed with God. They did not. They slipped away and fell asleep. And it became critical for their life. And they never recovered. Still haven't recovered. Some of them even gone because they didn't stay with God. We all know people like that. So it was my critical moment. And God was saying, my spirit. It's my spirit that you need. So I started seeking his spirit. One night at his conference, I was up front and I was praying for the Holy Spirit. I'm God, it's not me anymore. Crucify my pride. Has nothing to do with my abilities or my giftings. Has nothing to do with what I can give, but everything that you can give me. Nothing happened. I mean, I felt good that I was praying to God. The next night, I went to the back of the building. I tried in the back. I thought it was all about geography. Said, I'll try the back of the building. I got back there, and for hours I'd seek God. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I just need you right now. The next night, I tried the left side of the building. My wife was with me the whole time. She waited and waited until I had that moment where I was trying to break through. The next night, I tried the right side of the building. And then on night five, I just went up front, and I'm like, God, if you could just send somebody by to give me a word. And that's pretty scary. That's how I felt. I was trying so hard to do it my way instead of God's way. Then the guy who was speaking the conference, and I was like, man, if you could just let him speak into me. And I heard that familiar voice coming down the way. And just hearing the voice, I just released myself. And in that moment, I didn't need him, but that voice came and stood in front of me and spoke a word into my life. In that moment, I just released myself to God. And for the next several hours, I just woke up overwhelmed and drenched in his spirit. Here's what was funny. I came to and I was like, who's the speaker? I want to thank him because he spoke a word into my life about staying with God. They said, he left 45 minutes before you ever came up and started praying. I thought it was him. And I think God just laughed at that because we try to orchestrate that. And God just shows us, has nothing to do with you, has everything to do with me. You see, and in that moment, I got to stay with God right. But when it became his spirit, here's my second point. He allowed me to rise up. And that's what the scripture says. Because Jesus comes back after they go to sleep on him three times. He gets a little upset. He says, here comes my betrayers. And then it's almost like, let's go, rise up. He tells all the people that let him down to rise up. We got more to do. There's a message that's got to be delivered to the world about the gospel of about the gospel of Jesus and God's message. We got to deliver this thing to the world. Rise up. I need you. So I'm telling you, if you're in that moment, in and out, everybody fails. Your word in the last point is rise up today. We've all let him down. We've all messed up, but it's time for you to rise up. And when I rose up that night, I walked out of that room. Somebody knew. God radically changed me. He allowed me to rise up. The moment was critical for me. But in that moment, Christ became enough. And His Spirit created in me the ability to rise up. And it started creating inside of me characteristics that never existed. It created a passion for Jesus Christ. He created compassion. He created the passion to lead and the passion to influence, the passion to be inspirational and contagious for other people. I was shy and bashful. Can you believe that? I was shy and bashful. But when His Spirit got inside of me, something happened. I began to rise up. And when I rose up, He created compassion for others. That's why we've gone around the world helping others, doing the best that we can, doing all that we can for others. Compassion for others in our community. Compassion for others that we see hurting and suffering. My eyes changed. I no longer have the eyes of criticism on how somebody looks, how somebody smells, what side of the tracks they came from, or judging their situation over mine. I don't do that anymore because God has given me compassion. Because of His Spirit. Because of His Spirit, I have a discipline in my life to read and hunger for the Word. Because of His Spirit, I have honor for leadership. I don't need gossip in my life. I have honor for the things of God because of His Spirit. Because of His Spirit, I'm a hungry learner for the Word. I'm a hungry learner to absorb whatever I can from the things of God. Because of His Spirit, I have friendships that will last the rest of my life, that encourage me on or stand in a balcony and cheer for me and I for them. That's because of His Spirit. So if you're lonely today, don't do it by your spirit. God gives you all of these things when He infuses His Spirit inside of you. Because of His Spirit rose up inside of me, I experienced freedom from addiction, freedom from low self-esteem, freedom from feeling like I had to be good enough when Christ was good enough. I experienced wholeness and well-roundedness in my marriage and in my family. Not perfect, but something to set a standard for in our lives. I experienced joy and happiness and overwhelming strength because of the good things of God. I experienced love. I experienced the spirit of a finisher and not a quitter. I experienced the ability to encourage myself when maybe nobody else did, or not to feel sorry for myself, but realize that God sticks with me and encourages me. Stay with me. Rise up. Live the life that you were meant to be. Don't you dare live a broken life. You cannot be broken if my spirit lives inside of you. I walk with you, speak with you, encourage you. You see, I was dead until I fell in love with Jesus and not me. I was dead until I fell in love with Jesus and not me because it became all about Him and not me. Whether pride or low self-esteem or feeling sorry for myself. I was dead until I began to serve the needs of others. I was dead until I began to love all people. Now, as I close, I make a few comments. This generation and this time that we're living in, it's becoming more and more critical at what's happening in all of the earth. Stand up and rise up for our faith, but do it in a way of love where people are encouraged and inspired by what's living on the inside of us. I made a comment yesterday that I've never made before about our marriages. And I said this, we want you to market your marriage to others. Market the God in your marriage to others. That's how people will see God through your marriage. And in your faith, if you can imagine that you are in this God business because you've chosen Him, you've accepted Him, and how are you going to leave this place and market how great God is to the rest of this community? How are you going to walk that out? Are you doing a great job marketing Him? Are you doing a great job saying, this is who He is? This is how He's changed my life? Or do you walk out of here and forget it until you come back for the next experience? Because God wants more from you than that. And if that's all you're doing, you're just a bobblehead that has to be woken up on every Sunday's experience. But going out of this place, continuing to feel alive, that's when you know the experience is real. I don't need the next great musician. I don't need the next great leader or message from somebody. God uses those things to strengthen me. But my experience is real. I've decided to follow Him. I'm not going back on that. And some of us are in that critical moment. How are you going to live that life in front of others? People are dead. We've been dead in our own experience. But sometimes they won't believe. But if you live it out in front of them, they will believe. If you live it, they will believe it. In your workspace, live it out. They'll believe it. People need something to believe in today. They need something genuine to believe in. You see, Jesus went and touched the dead boy and called him back to life. Still, they didn't believe in him. He went to the tomb of Lazarus, who was spending 4 days in a tomb, called him back to life, and still, they didn't believe in him. I love the story when he goes in Mark chapter 5, verse 38 through 42, and he goes to the house of Jairus, and they come to Jesus, and they said, there's a little girl over here, 12 years old, and she's dying, and she needs a Savior. And Jesus starts making his way to the house, and even while he's going to the house, people are around him, and they reach out and touch him, and he stops to heal a woman who was dealing with the disease in her life. And just that little pause causes the girl to pass away. Jesus gets to the house, and he says, where's she at? Looks at her and says, she's not dead. She's only asleep. They begin to laugh at him. And then he immediately asked him, please leave the room. Can you just leave the house? He takes his disciples, the mom and the dad, goes in, takes her by the hand, and in certain words, talithakumai in the Bible is how it says, but it means get up, little girl. He took her by the hand and she got up and she lived and she became alive again. And for some of you, in and out of consciousness, bobbleheading in your life, critical moment. Maybe God's just looking at you saying, wake up, get up, stay with me, rise up above whatever you're experiencing and live this life for God like there'll be in no other and affect those around you. You see, because if God can affect your life and you can get beyond critical, move yourself out of ICU today. See, you can live in ICU where everybody carries the burden for you. They got to feed you. They got to tend to you. They got to care for you. Everything has to be done for you. You've seen it before. Nobody wants to do that. But you need to get yourself out of spiritual ICU today. Feed yourself. Help yourself. Live this life and go affect the lives of others. Because when you've been critical, when you knew there was no other way except God's way, there was no going back. When you knew your life was on the line, and I only got here because God got me here. Then there was no more ICU. And God's saying, out of ICU, live this life for Him. Affect the lives of others. Wake up. Stay with me. Just come on. Stay with me as if somebody is leaning over a stretcher and clapping. Hey, just insert your name. Stay with me today. Rise up and allow God to use you. He's never used you before. Stand to your feet with me, if you will. Father God, I feel your presence right now. For those who are critical, we call on your name, Jesus. For those who can identify a specific need in their life right now, we call on your name. A critical need of health, a critical need in the home, a critical need for a job, a critical need for finance, a critical need for a relationship, a critical need for our mind, a critical need to say, God, I cannot continue just to mosey through this experience, but I want to step in to what you can do in my life. Make them strong and whole this morning, God. As we get ready to walk into this new season, I believe it. We spoke the word yesterday. Tina, my wife, she spoke the first session and said, the lame marriage must live and must walk. Listen, the lame can live and walk today. We can leave this place walking and praising, leaping for God in our spirit. Today, I believe that to happen. And whatever your need is, God, move me from ICU and critical into that place where I am walking out of this place and I am now taking the meds that you have given me to the medicine that I know other people need, because you didn't just give medicine to the healthy. People who are sick need the medicine. Stay with us today. Stay with this beautiful group of people. Now I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes And if you feel like a critical today, and I'm going to ask Pastor Gene to come up here and see this with me, and then I'm going to hand the mic to him and then let him move forward. If you feel like you have a critical need this morning, you're in that moment. Even the strong Christian, I'm just bobblehead. I'm in and out. I need to move from that place. Or maybe it's whatever it is that you're feeling. Nobody's looking. Would you just raise your hand and say, you're talking to me, and that's what I need today. I need to become alive today. Just keep your hand up. I'm going to ask Pastor Gene to take this mic and just do what he needs to do from here in the spirit to pray for you, to call you forward, whatever he feels like is right. And I believe God's going to move you with your hand up from that ICU today to the life that he has designed for you.
Keep your hands raised. We want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we call out to the dead parts of our life, to the dead parts of our marriage, to our family, our spirit, our mind. Father, right now, we take this word that's been spoken to us as a body. Father, we apply it now over our lives. And we say, rise, dead places in our life. Rise, the places that are lame. Rise, the places that have been complacent. Rise. And Lord, we speak life through your Holy Spirit today. May you bring revive to us the dead parts of our life. God, may you breathe on us, Lord, today. And we say yes, God. May our life, may our marriage, may our testimony, may the life we live, even though it's not perfect, be one that points to a perfect God who restores, who redeems, who brings back life today. We wake up out of our spiritual sleep. Lord, may we not be spiritual zombies walking around, but God, may we be alive, redeemed with passion, with vision today, Father. We speak over ourselves right now. Come on, put your hand over your heart today. Say, I speak this word over my life today. Alive. Come on, say alive. I come alive in your presence today, God. You are a great God, and we receive this word today. And we say, amen. Come on, put your hands together. We receive that word today. Our ushers are going to come forward today, and we want to do this before we close out with the last song. We love our speakers today. They've been such a blessing Friday night, Saturday, as well as this morning, both services. And we want to bless them with just a love offering. They haven't asked for anything, but today we want to bless them. They travel places around the world, and many places they go to, they have to raise their money to get there. They have to pay either out of their pocket or use funds that have been designated to help them get there. But they don't receive offerings for them because they go on missions trips and raising up leaders around the world. And so we have the ability today to be a blessing to them, to sow into their ministry. And you know that I've taught you well here at Destiny Church. And when we have a guest come in that we believe in and sowing into their life, planting seeds of offering and love to them. So I want you just to bow your head. Father, what would you have us to give to them today? Just ask that question. Father, what would you have me to do to be a blessing to this family, this ministry? And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you today, just be quick to be obedient to that. We're going to pass our buckets around this morning, and we're going to receive everything 100% that comes in. And this next offering is going to go to our speakers just to be a blessing to them. As they pass it today, I want you to declare out of your mouth, our God is greater. Come on, let's focus on how great our God is. Come on, Joe.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
All right, how many are glad you're here today? Did you enjoy? Give our speakers one more hand of appreciation. Let me know you love them. Thank you, guys. We love you very, very much for being here. I tell you what, it's going to be an awesome, awesome spring as we get ready, gearing up for the summer. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay connected, man. Stay planted Man, we're glad you're here today. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. You guys have a great afternoon.